How do we know Jesus Christ arose from the dead? Well, there are numerous unquestionable proofs. One is the number of public appearances he made after his resurrection. If Christ had not made these many appearances, it is understandable why some people might doubt. But since he did appear, there is no reason to doubt. Mary left the empty tomb to inform Peter and John as to what she had seen. After she returned to the tomb and continued to stand by even after Peter and John left, she stood without at the sepulchre, the Bible says, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. The word for weeping is really the word for sobbing. Her sobbing was the expression of deep sorrow, not only because the body of Christ was missing from the tomb, but as the result of the entire crucifixion experience. Surely we can understand the grief of Mary's heart. When Mary looked into the tomb, what did she see? Well, verse 12 says, two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Angels, as God's ministering spirits, appear and disappear according to the will of God. Doubtless they had not been in the tomb when Peter entered. Well, the angels asked Mary, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Her answer was virtually the same as the announcement she had made to Peter and John. There is one slight difference, however. When talking to the disciples, she spoke of Jesus as the Lord, but in her reply to the angels, she said, "My Lord." You see, Mary's love for Christ is to be admired, even though she was limited in spiritual perception. In her own thinking, Christ was dead, but he was still her Lord. Now verse 14 says, "Then she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." The angels made no reply to Mary's words, probably because they realized that their master was in their midst. Either Mary heard someone behind her or sensed that someone was near. Quickly, she turned around to see who it was. Several reasons have been given as to why Mary did not recognize the Lord Jesus. Was she so grief-stricken that her eyes were filled with tears? Was it still so early in the morning that she did not recognize him? But for some divine reason, God prevented her from beholding Christ, as was the case with the Emmaus disciples. They did not perceive that the Son of God was in their presence until he opened their eyes. Immediately, Christ asked Mary, "Woman, why weepest thou?" This question, asked by the angels as well as by the Lord, suggests the uselessness of many of our tears. The words also embody a gentle rebuke. It was as though our Lord was saying, "Why do you weep, Mary? Do you not recall that I said I would rise from the dead? You should rejoice and not be sad." The second question our Lord asked was, "Whom seekest thou?" This suggests that Christ was saying, "Mary, whom do you think would be in this tomb? Surely you did not expect to find me here." Mary had no recognition of the one to whom she was speaking, she supposing him to be the gardener, we read in verse 15, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Did Mary think she was strong enough to carry the body of Jesus back to the tomb if he were to be found? Though her understanding of truth was limited, there were no limits to her faith. Mary gave little attention until the Lord spoke her name. Quickly, she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Upon hearing her Lord speak her name, she recognized him immediately. Now our Lord's reply seems shrouded with mystery. "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." One may read various interpretations of these words, but all of them are merely conjectures. Surely by "touch me not," Christ did not mean that Mary should not touch Christ's resurrection body. for only minutes later, Mary's companions held him by their feet and worshipped him. The word touch, as used here, means to cling to. Doubtless, upon recognizing the Lord Jesus, Mary fell to his feet, embracing them as to never let go. It seems as though our Lord said, "Mary, you must not hold on to me now. My task is not completely fulfilled. I must ascend unto my Father, that the work of redemption might be completed for all who believe." Christ gave Mary specific instructions. He said, "Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Christ wanted his followers to know that he did not rise from the dead to remain on this earth, but to enter heaven as their high priest and advocate. One cannot help but understand Christ's great love in this message. He calls the disciples my brethren. He says, "I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Only 3 days before, the disciples had forsaken him and fled. Their attitude toward him did not coincide with their profession, but how wonderful was Christ's unchanging love for them. Mary responded to Christ's directions immediately. She came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. How their hearts must have rejoiced to know that Christ was not dead but living. This was good news for them, but was also good news for lost men and women in every age to come. Now, for some reason, John does not record the next three appearances of the resurrected Christ, but continues with the fifth appearance. We read, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." It is not difficult to realize why the disciples had gathered. New hope had sprung within their hearts. Thus they assembled to discuss all that they had seen and heard on Christ's resurrection day, as well as recommit themselves to their Lord. They met in secret for fear that what had happened to the Lord Jesus on the cross might be their lot as well. All were present except Thomas, who refused to believe the testimony of those who had seen Christ. Suddenly, the Lord appeared, saying, "Peace be unto you." Our Lord's words were more than a polite greeting commonly used by the Jews. Before his departure through death, he bequeathed his peace to his disciples, saying, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14, verse 27. Though they listened to him attentively, they did not appropriate this peace. As the result, following his crucifixion, they were discouraged and disappointed. Now he reminds them that his peace is available still. It seems that there was some doubt among the disciples as to whether this was actually the Savior. We read, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." We might well imagine the condition of the wounds under normal circumstances, having been afflicted on Friday, and now it was only Sunday night. It is highly probable, however, that through Christ's miraculous power, the wounds became scars, but there is no question about it. They were visible in the risen body of our Lord. Nothing is said to suggest that the disciples touched Christ to determine his reality. They must have been convinced, for then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Christ's words of comfort, "Peace be unto you," were further reassurance that he had forgiven them for their faithlessness. He then commissioned them for the weeks and months ahead, saying in verse 21, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Our Savior had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Soon he was to leave this earth, but his ministry was not to end. It would continue through his blood-bought children for ages to come. We must be faithful in fulfilling this ministry. We are to reconcile people to God. We are God's witnesses. We are to be faithful in sharing the truth. If you're not a Christian, friend, turn to Christ right now. He is a living Christ. He loves you and wants to save you. Ask him to come into your life. Father God, we pray that we who know Jesus may share the wonderful message of life and not be ashamed of the gospel. May we tell people about Christ who wants to save to the uttermost. And for those who need him today, draw them to yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.